to the sixth chapter, Ephesians chapter 6. We are continuing on in our study of relationships and are moving from the husband-wife relationship, which I took several weeks to address and hope you're continuing to address in your own home, and now going to be focusing on the parent-child relationship, starting as the Lord starts with the child. You might say, well, I'm not a child, I'm an adult. Well, let's look at this in several ways. Number one, I trust that as an adult, you'd see the wisdom that our children get addressed in how they are to live the Christian life. Secondly, I don't hardly ever take an entire message. In fact, it's been years since I've taken an entire message and just addressed the young people. Also, you are a child of God, and so maybe there are some applications that you can see fitting in your own life. Maybe it's not a direct principle that you have failed to keep in children obeying your parents or honoring your parents, but maybe you're not obeying the Lord or honoring the Lord in your life. You might be an adult, but acting almost as it is a child, and not obeying and not honoring the Lord. So let me encourage you to again reflect on those thoughts and to give careful attention to the Word of God as well. As the writer here addresses a church, it's Paul. He's writing an epistle. An epistle is a letter. He's writing to a church actually located in Ephesus, and a church that he had previously planted. As Paul writes, he's going to write almost as it were a sermon. He's going to work through the church and the needs there, and then he goes into the home, and entering into the home, he first addresses the wife in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. And beginning in verse number 25, he begins to address the husband and his role in fulfilling his wife's needs. And then as he gets into chapter 6, he begins to focus on the child or the children, and then focuses on the father leading the parental guidance of the home. And then he's actually going to work right from there into the workplace. So we're going to follow that same format. We are going to look at the children this week and the week to come. We will look at the parental obligations, and beyond that, we're going to look at the workplace and our responsibilities there. And so this morning, I want us to see how God continues to order this home. Everything God creates, He gave order to. Think of the wonderful, miraculous creation of this world. Aren't you glad He gave order to it? There are things that we don't like in this world. Maybe you don't like spiders, okay? But do you recognize, do you realize they have an important place in our ecosystem? Maybe not in your kitchen, maybe not in your garage, but they do have an important place in God's creation. God has ordered everything. Therefore, this world continues as it does unto this day after 6,000 years of creation, because God has ordered it. Well, God then ordered the home. And again, what has God done? He has placed order into the home so that everyone's needs are being fulfilled. And we'll talk about that a little bit more even in this morning's message. He also ordered government. And again, we will touch on one of those passages today. In ordering government, He's doing so that everyone is taken care of. And then He's ordered the church. He's given order in the church, and again, following those institutions, you see that God is organizing everything that He is involved in. Well, as Paul preaches this message here, and slightly different to the church of Colossae, he is giving order to our children. And this morning, I would like to look at this, the family, and then key in on the responsibilities of the children. Let's go to the Father in a word of prayer. Your Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ. As we approach You, it's through His blood and through the access we've been given even by the Spirit, your word teaches. Father, we need help within our homes. And Father, I just ask that you would guide us from this day forward. May we be willing, especially our young people, be willing to listen to what you have to say and then obey you. And so, Father, guide us in this service. May it have impact, especially on our young people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me look first at two things here this morning, found in the first verse of chapter 6 of, again, the book of Ephesians. And I've entitled this first point, young people, you must obey God's commandment to obey your parents. And if I really wanted to make it long, young people, you must obey God's commandments to obey your parents' commandments. But the idea here is God is giving instruction. And I want you to notice, especially if you're a young person, but all of us, I want you to notice who this verse is addressed to. What is the very first word? Children. God is intending that children read His Word. God has written His Word, and certain parts of His Word are directed directly to the ladies. Other parts are directly to the men. Other parts are directly to older people. Other parts are directly to leadership. There are other parts, though, that are directly written considering children. This verse is written with you in mind, and as Brother Thompson said the other week, we need to read our own mail. I like that point. I got what he's saying here. He's saying, hey, when I write to the ladies, you ought to be reading that and working on that part. Men, when I write to you, you ought to be reading that part and working on that part. Children, you ought to be reading this and focusing on what God has said your responsibility is. So you ought to be reading God's Word because He has verses in there just for you. He has verses in there to help you. And if you're a Christian, it'll help you be a more godly child of God who's also a child of your parents. Look at what it says in verse number 1. Children, here's the command, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So God is the one actually giving the command. Parents didn't come up. You might say, where did this all come from? Parents didn't come up with the idea, boy, I ought to take control of this home, and I ought to be preaching, and I ought to be leading. No, God said, I want you children to be obeying your parents. So it's God's commandment. It is not your parents' commandment. And remember, if you're a Christian, you're first a child of God. So when you obey this verse, you're not only obeying your parents, you're obeying the Lord. If you disobey this verse, you're not only disobeying your parents, you're disobeying the Lord. So recognize the significance of this, and this is only going to build or mount in the second point of the message. So as a child, you ought to be thinking, wait a second, God is telling me something here. God is actually commanding me to do something. Now let me just interject for you parents, especially parents of young people. Sometimes as we are giving a command to our children, they may ask the says who, or ask the great deep question, why? And sometimes our no more deeper than that answer or response is because I said so. You know, the reality is we are not to ask our children to obey because we said so. But we are to ask our children to obey because God said so. And I think we do a disfavor by getting in a childlike discussion like that with our children when they have a very weak question and we have a really weak answer in response. We shouldn't be just saying, because I said so. I'm the boss of this home. I'll tell you what to do. What happens is we take the authority off of God and we place it on our own shoulders. We make it as if we ordered our home. And you're obeying me because I said you're to obey me. I want to encourage you as a parent to instruct your children. And I think you'll do so in a milder tone as well. It may help you with your anger issues toward your children. If you even show them the Word of God and begin to engage them in a conversation and begin to show them, no, this is God's command. And what God is doing, He is putting order into your life and into our home. And so it's important for you to obey. Why? Because the way you please the Lord is by obeying your parents. And so what God has given here is some careful instruction. Now Solomon has been known in the Word of God to be the wisest man. Repeatedly, Solomon said, "Listen up, my son. Don't only give ear to me, but also follow the law of thy mother." And so there is a joint authority there between fathers and mothers. We'll talk more about that next week. But Solomon made it sure that the child understood you have a responsibility. By the way, children, you don't have a lot of them. But the responsibilities that you have are to honor, or to obey and to honor your parents. For this is right. Listen to what Solomon said in just a couple of verses. "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father." By the way, if you're taking notes, that's Proverbs 4:1. "And attend to knowing," to know understanding. So he says, give ear. Listen to the instruction. Attend to know. Pay attention. I'm going to really, part of obedience, I think, is looking, listening, and learning. If you want to be an obedient child and then be blessed of the Lord because you're honoring your parents, then you look at them as opportunity avails. You listen to them. And then you learn from them. By the way, parent, a good, again, lesson for you is if you give instruction, maybe to ask the child to repeat it back. Maybe they weren't listening that clearly. Maybe they weren't listening that closely. Maybe they didn't fully understand. Sometimes we really, I think, provoke them to wrath. I know I'm edging on next week's lesson, but that's okay. We might provoke them to wrath because we're asking them to do something they don't clearly understand. And then we judge them as if they had all the information they need. So make sure you engage parent in conversation. If you're expecting them to obey, make sure they know what you're expecting them to obey. Listen to what he says later. You might want to jot down these references. I'll have you turn to two other passages in a minute, so I'm keeping you from turning there right now. But Proverbs 19, 26 and 27 says, "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach." Listen to what it goes on to say. Listen, "Cease my son." It could also say, "Cease my daughter." Listen to this. "To hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." He says, what you need to start doing is listening to your parents and quit listening to those that would tell you you don't have to listen to your parents. Why? Because this comes from the Lord. Depending where you go to school, or depending on who your neighbors are, or even who your relatives are, you might say, "Well, I've got to go right home afterward." And they might say, "Well, who says?" And, "Well, my mom told me I had to be." "Ah, who cares what your mom said? We won't be that long." Again, the Bible says cease to hear that kind of talk. Bible says cease to hear the type of instruction that would cause thee to err or go in the wrong direction. So again, young people, really guard who your friends are and guard. Remember, God has never commanded you. Read the Word of God closely. God has never commanded you as a child to listen to your friends. The Bible has commanded us to listen to your parents. And so children, I would encourage you, of whatever age you are, to listen to your parents and their instruction. Now, here in Ephesians 6, it's going to teach you something else, children. Mom and dad aren't going to be the only ones you have to listen to in life. And you think, well, if you're going to be a rebel at home, you're probably going to be a rebel in the society, and you're going to be a rebel in the workplace. Guess what? You get out of home and you start working for someone, you have a boss now. We have a number of business owners in a congregation. But just think logically through this. If you were to start a business and begin to hire employees, you would think, well, since I'm the boss, since I own the business, I get to call the shots, we might say. I get to make the decisions. And again, as an employee, you coming in as an 18, 19-year-old child, you don't have the opportunity to go up to your boss. So, says who? Who are you to tell me what to do today? They have what they call a pink slip in the office. They just write two words on it, you're fired, or apostrophe there. So you can be gone quickly. So what I'm getting at, look at verse number 5 here. Servants, be obedient to them that are your master. This isn't the last time you're going to be at. This is warm up. This is practice. Obeying a parent that loves you, by the way, can be a lot easier than obeying a boss who doesn't care about you. And so this is good. Learn to trust, learn to follow, learn to listen to that one that loves you and is caring for you and trying to protect you. And they're making decisions for your good, for your protection. Because one day you're going to be under a boss whose big goal is money. His big goal might be fortune. His big goal might be to move the company forward. I was following a vehicle the other day and is advertising for a company that truly cares about you and what your needs are and so forth. And it could be true. But once you know, there are a lot of them that aren't that way. So again, you're going to be asked to obey just because of the money line. They don't care about you and your feelings. And so I want to encourage you, this is the grounds for starting. Be obedient to your parents. Again, look, listen, learn from them. Respond to them when they ask you to do something. Turn with me now. We're coming back here for a second verse. But turn with me over to Romans chapter 13. It's not very far away. It's more toward the front of your Bible, but just a few pages. Romans chapter 13. You go to Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. So if you're Acts, you need to go back a little bit. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you need to go toward the front a little bit more. Romans chapter 13. Again, talking about one of God's institutions, human government. This is, by the way, parents, if you defy human government, or you talk down human government, or you are critical of the powers that be, police officers and so forth, what do you expect you're going to get from your children? And if you as a parent aren't a good role model in obeying your authority, then all of a sudden you come down on your child for not obeying your authority. You're not listening to those who are over you, but then you're rebuking them for not listening to you. They might not recognize that at the age of 2 and 3, but there's coming a day they will recognize that. And they'll see that you're bitter towards your authority, and you're angry with your authority, and you're constantly challenging authorities. And guess what? You're going to have a child that constantly challenges you, and you're going to think, wow, how did I raise a rebel like that? Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And so, parents, we can be leading by example, and you need to be careful how you speak about and how you respond to authority that's over you. Say, Pastor, I thought you were preaching to the kids today. I am. But this will help our kids. This will help our children. Look here in verses 1 and 2. I'm not going to evaluate this entire great passage, but let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So again, who does he say? I ordered the authority. Paul is writing, he's saying, hey, you say, well, who says I have to believe or obey the police officer? God has ordained that there be authority, and he goes on to instruct that it is for your protection and it is for the good of mankind. So again, God has ordered it, and he has placed us under the authorities of the powers that be. So let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Child, young person, when you resist the authority of your parent or grandparent, let me emphasize, you are not only resisting their authority, you are resisting God's authority. Because God has structured the home. Let's turn back now to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. So young people, point blank, this isn't real deep. As they would say, this isn't rocket science. This is biblical truth. And the biblical truth is, as a young person, you must obey God's command to obey your parents, or to obey your parents' commandments. And so what you need to start doing is say, Lord, will you help me? I need to be looking at my parents when they speak to me. I need to be listening to my parents to hear what instruction they're giving me. And then I need to be learning from my parents how they want it done. I know. As a 7-year-old, you have a better way. I know. As a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, you definitely have a better way. But this is God's way, and you want to give obedience to it. But I want you to notice the second thing. Because I talked about this last week. With the wives, it not only gives an activity, it gives an attitude. It says to the wife to submit and to do so with reverence. It gives the husband an action and then an attitude. The husband is to love and he is to nurture and cherish his wife. That's the attitude. To the child, they are to obey. What's the attitude? Verse number 2. Do it by honoring. There's the attitude. Again, what we want to get away from is a child that is legalistically obeying, but not with the right attitude. They're rolling the eyes. They're shuffling the feet. They're hitting things and kicking things along the way. They're delaying and doing it on their own time. They're doing it the way they want to do it, not the way the parent. Again, they're saying they're obeying, but they're not having the right attitude. I want you to know, God is as concerned about the attitude as he is the action. Did you look at verses 2 and 3? I think we've heard this often, probably wrongly. We've really emphasized obedience to the children, because then it will be long with thee that thou mayest dwell long upon the earth. And then some fathers have made the backhanded comment, yeah, because if you don't obey me, I brought you into this world, I'm taking you out. But the reality of it is, the promise isn't given to the obedience, the promise is given to the honoring. So the action is very important, but the attitude is even more important. God's saying, if you do it with the right attitude, there's where the blessing comes. So to legalistic just go through the motions and to obey, but to have the wrong attitude doesn't fall under the qualification of God's blessing. So here, it says in verse number 2, honor thy father and mother. The word honor is a really interesting word. It has the idea of giving value to see as valuable. Depends on walking through a store. There are some things in there of value, very often behind lock and key. And there are other things that they'll put right at the cash register. I was going to say 10 and 20 cent items. I guess that's gone, isn't it? Dollar and $2 items and even more, I guess. Well, in this passage, what it's encouraging you children to do is give value to your parents. And again, that's why I think it's important to look, listen, and learn. You're giving value to them. The root word, it comes from a word to mean something that has a great price, a high value to, something that becomes precious. So again, sometimes the attitude really is so important because of your attitude, you devalue their authority in your life. That especially might happen in the workplace. It may happen in school. But I want you to know, young people, God, and by the way, you might be a teen, you're still called to have a high value, place a high value upon your parents. Young men, as you begin maybe 10, 12, 13 years of age, this is how it looks on the scale. On the scale here of mom and child, when a child gets to be about 10, 11, 12, 13, all of a sudden mom goes down and child goes up. Boys, one of the things that you're going to really find that you're tested and challenged with as you begin to come into manhood, so to speak, is you begin to automatically, almost as it were, devalue your mom, your grandma, your sister. Well, sisters were gone years ago, sorry. You begin to devalue. I want you to know, according to the Word of God, that's not true. And while you might see yourself as some strong, robust young man, you must still place yourself in your proper place by keeping mom in her proper place. That's why I really think Solomon emphasized, don't just listen to me, also listen to the law of thy mother. And I'll tell you what, I've seen some ladies out there who know how to lay down the law. And as a child, you say, you know what? I'm going to show great value, so I'm going to listen to her. I'm going to listen. I may not always think Dad's right, but I'm going to show great value to him. By the way, young people, then in your attitude being so important, that's why as you do get older and you do begin to wonder, I wonder why we do this. If you take on the right attitude, and I thought this was taught really well a couple weeks ago by Brother Thompson, if you approach them with the right attitude, say, Mom and Dad, I'm going to obey what you say, but I don't really fully understand why we do this. I don't really understand why you asked me to do that. Do you mind? Again, if you're asking and you're doing so in the right spirit, you're showing honor to them. Be careful about dishonoring them, challenging their authority. If you come with the right spirit asking the right question, and I hope parents, you say, hey, I see they have the right attitude, and don't always be quickly challenged by feeling that your authority's challenged. If you see they're coming in the right attitude, I think you begin to engage in conversation. Again, not seeing as everything a challenge to who you are. In closing, turn with me to Mark chapter 7. By the way, young people, I think what is important to your parents, just automatically it becomes important to you. You might not understand why, and when you get out of the home, it may no longer be important to you. But as you're a child growing up in that home, I think you view, okay, this is important to Dad, this is important to Mom, I'm going to make it important to me because it's important to them. That's honoring. Again, well, we want to make sure we don't just have children that obey. We want that, but we want you to obey with honor. Look what the Lord Jesus Christ says about Isaiah prophesied of you. What's the next word? You... Oh, did I tell you what verse? Don't you have the Bible memorized? Come on, folks. Chapter 7, I'm sorry, verse 6. Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. By the way, that's Isaiah, New Testament, for Isaiah. He prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So I learned here in this passage, and really giving meditation, honoring isn't just a lip service. Honoring isn't just a saying the right thing. Honoring is a heart issue. If you're not honoring, there's something wrong in your heart. The Lord says, you're hypocrites. You're saying the right thing. And how many of you children are outwardly obeying and saying the right things, but inwardly your heart's not right? The Bible says, you're a hypocrite. And in being a hypocrite, you're not obeying or honoring. You're failing both parts. Why? Because your heart's not right. Young people, could it be that you're saying on the outside and doing on the outside all the right things because that's what mom and dad are saying, but on the inside you're a rebel? On the inside you're not bowing, you're not giving heed to, you're refusing to bend, your spirit is wrong. Lord Jesus Christ says, you're a hypocrite. So maybe here's some of our young people today. Yeah, you're doing the right things. You're saying the right things. You're going to the right classes. You're ministering in the right programs. But the reality of your heart's far from the Lord. Reality might be your heart's far from your parents. Maybe you've developed some animosity. Maybe you've developed some anger. Maybe you've developed some rebellion. God says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to honor, and I want you, I want you to obey, and I want you to do it with this attitude. I want you to honor. And if you do that, then I'll bless you. And so young people, I want you to see the importance of growing up. Maybe like a Timothy, a young Timothy, who listened to both his mother and his grandmother, both those he listened to and gave obedience to. And then as Paul came along, guess what? He gave obedience to Paul. Why was that? Because he was learning to give obedience to authority. And it was through Paul he was trained to become a preacher of the gospel. Again, parent, it begins in the home. And again, I want you to understand what your child's responsibility is. So don't just correct your children for disobedience. Correct them for dishonor. And teach them. Teach them what they're expecting. Young people, don't just aim at being obedient, but being obedient with honor. Bow your heads, please, with me together here this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around.